was planted in 1980. This building here, my parents bought it with their own money, and then they signed the deed over to the church. And so we're eating the fruit of their labors. It's really like David. He prepared all the materials for the temple, though he himself didn't get to build it. He didn't get to build it, but he prepared all the materials. So all his son had to do was just start building. And that's really what I've been able to do, is just start building. God has prepared the ground. So for you to reap a harvest, someone has got to plant a seed. Sometimes when we witness, you know what we're doing? We're planting a seed. And we may not personally see that person saved. Maybe 5, 10 years from now, they will come across some church, and that seed that you planted will start to bear fruit. Amen. So we don't give up just because we don't see the particular person that we witness to come to church. You're planting a seed. But it's God that does what? Gives the increase. All we can do is plant the seed. Invite them to church. Tell them about the love of God, how God has transformed your life. That's all you can do, is plant a seed. So don't get disappointed if when you witness, you don't see something right away. Many times, I have spoken to someone and then years later found out that they got into church. And that is such a blessing. Amen. So we're going to look at the fruit here. Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What does that mean? Anyone, what does that verse mean? Is it plain? That means we can't look down on anyone. Everyone is precious, is a soul that God wants to reach. They may not be rich. They may not be dressed like me and you. They may have an accent. They may not be able to speak properly. But in God's sight, they're precious. We shouldn't stand in the counsel of the ungodly. We should not be scornful of people. But verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted. Planted. When you are planted, that's the only way you can grow. If you scatter some seed on the ground, very likely the wind's going to come and blow them. You have to be planted. You have to be plugged into your church, in other words, to grow. If you're just an occasional, you're not going to get much. It's when you're plugged in that you're going to start to get the Tuesday night, the Thursday night, the Sunday word that's going to come forth, and then you can start to grow. If you're just a surface Christian, the first wind, the first storm, the first family issue is going to just blow you away. You have to be planted. But the Bible says here, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Sometimes the fruit you got to give in a certain situation is gentleness. Sometimes the fruit is faith. Sometimes the fruit is meekness. Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, right? For they shall be called what? Children of God. Maybe it calls for the fruit of peacemaking. You see something going on, you can just step in gently and say, well, let me see if I can solve this problem, this issue for you. It says it bringeth forth his fruit in his season. That means there may be time when that's the fruit you need. Another time it may be gentleness. But in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What a promise. Would you like that whatever you touch, God's going to bless it? Amen? That's if you are planted. If you start to be planted, you can bring forth fruit, and whatsoever you do is going to be blessed. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord, Psalms 92, verse 13, shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in an old age. I guess that's me now. Amen. Very soon we can get them senior dinners, right? I'm waiting for my discount. You know, when I turned 50, I was kind of shocked. I don't know where AARP got my name and address from, but they didn't miss a blink. They didn't miss a beat. Here comes my card, and I felt like I had arrived. Have you got yours yet, Jeremy? He said he's still young, so that's okay. He's not on their list. Amen. But usually when you turn 50, they have some list somewhere, and they just send you all their benefits. But you know, God has got a better AARP plan. He said they shall bring forth fruit in an old age. Amen. You know, sometimes when people get old, they get kind of, they lose some of their spryness. They lose some of their joy. They get kind of dried up. You know, and their joy just, you know, they have no patience. They just snap at people. But God is saying that if you're planted, you shall be renewed. You shall still get the sap. So you're not going to get dried up. They shall bring forth fruit in an old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Not sure I like that fat part, but flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. Amen. So how do we get the fruit? And I've said this before. You have to have a seed planted, and the seed is the word of God. The more you come to church and hear a word that ministers to your soul, that touches your heart, that you allow to meditate, amen. When you start to meditate upon a word, and you just meditate upon a word, that's how you start to get the goodness, amen. Matthew 13:23, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. If you come to church and the preacher is preaching and you don't understand it, you know what? You're not getting nothing. And I don't mind going to a church where they worship, but I like to hear a word that I can understand. You know, I want to go to a church where my soul is fed. I tell you what, I appreciate great teaching. I appreciate when I hear something that I've never heard before that makes me get excited about the word of God. You see, that's the kind of church I want to come too. That's why I do my best to go before the Lord and say, give me fresh food. I don't want to give you warmed, stale stuff. I want to give you fresh manna every day. There's nothing better than if you wake up in the morning. Anybody here have a bread maker? All right. So you know what I'm talking about. And you start to smell that fresh bread. Even if you weren't hungry, you become hungry. Amen. You ever gone past a bakery and you can just smell that aroma of the yeast and the richness of that stuff? That's how the word of God should be to us every day. Amen. When we start to get that word, we're planted some seeds. And it may take 30 years. Like those cherries, she brought me these perfect cherries. And at first I said, you know, Cindy, I've never eaten. I've seen them drop, but I've never eaten. She said, no, these are good. These are good. And I tasted them and they were just perfect. And I said to myself, well, maybe this is a sign. The seed that my parents planted 30 years ago has come to fruition. Amen. Someone came to me yesterday and said, who used to come to this church a long time ago, and they said, I see that the fruit, they actually seconded what was in my, I see that the fruit that your parents planted has started to come to fruition. Amen. And so I'm taking that as a sign that God is about to do more than he has ever done. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bring forth some an hundredfold. I like how the Bible starts. It starts at the top, a hundredfold. You can get a hundredfold. It depends what you do with your seed. It depends how good the ground you have done. My wife has been planting a garden on our little porch up there. And she goes out every day and looks at it and tends it and digs it up and fertilizes it and waters it. Amen. And she's going to expect a harvest. Amen. When God has planted something good in your life, he's expecting a harvest. Amen. Let's go on. Proverbs 11:30 says that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. As I said, Jesus told the parable of the vineyard owner, and he planted some trees, some vineyards, and he fertilized it, and he came back and he was looking to see was there fruit. If God looks in our lives right now, would he see fruit? Would he see fruit? Can we say that we are bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Amen. Because that's what he's looking for. He's been blessing you. He's been keeping you. He's been saving you. None of you are here by accident. Because the Bible says no man can come to the Father unless the Spirit draw him. You may have thought, well, you chose God, but that's not how it works. God has chosen you. You just have decided to respond. So one of the things of a person who is bearing fruit is that the Bible says that he that winneth souls is wise. Now, as I said, we can't make anyone serve God, but we should be able to give as we have received. When we have received a word, we can give a word. When we have received some faith, then we have something to give. The two disciples, as they were going into the temple, and the man was sitting there begging for alms, what did they say to him? Silver and gold have we not. We may not have the material things of this life, but every Christian should have some faith. Every Christian should have something that they can give a word of encouragement. Brother, I'm going to pray for you. I believe God is going to take you through. We should be able to give. They said, silver and gold have I none, but such as we have, give I unto you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We should have something that we can give to show that we are bearing fruit. Now, if we don't bear fruit, here's what Matthew 3:10 says. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Wherefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Jesus expects fruit from us. Do you know that if you don't bear fruit, you're bearing leaves? I looked at those trees, and especially the cherry tree this year. It's just absolutely jam-packed with fruit. When you go out there, have a look at it. It's just absolutely jammed. You can't look anywhere on that tree and there's not fruit. It is bearing fruit. And he ate them? So the mailman is getting blessed by something my parents planted 30 years ago. Amen. Cindy, you weren't in here, but I was telling them how you brought me some fruit. And that is the first time ever I've eaten of the two trees, either the apple or the cherry tree, because I've always thought the fruit wasn't ready. But those two cherries were like shop quality. They were bright red, and they were juicy, and they were ripe. Amen. And I just took that as a sign from the Lord. You weren't in here, so I'm just repeating that. But if you have spent years tending some fruit and it doesn't bear anything, the Bible says that what you're going to do, you're going to root it up. You know, you've heard the world have this saying, waste of space. That's what they call some people. They're just a waste of space because they're fruitless. They don't seem to do nothing but cause trouble or bring disaster wherever they are. It's like some people, they have their own personal thundercloud that just moves around with them, and you just want to avoid such people, right? And the world says that they're a waste of space. But God is telling us that if we don't bear fruit, Matthew 3:10, now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees, where therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. See, a good tree, Matthew 7:18, cannot bring forth evil fruit. The Bible says, by their fruits, you shall know them. By their fruits, you shall know them. I want to ask a question. How do we, as Christians, should we be the kind of people that other people want to be around? Shouldn't we be the kind of people that people want to be around? They should be asking us, why are you so happy? Why are you so joyful? What's with you on Monday mornings? See, I have a ways to go. Like Paul, I have not attained, but I'm pressing. Amen. I want to bear fruit. I want to be so happy that the Lord is in my life. That it doesn't matter that it's Monday morning and I got a whole mess of yuck stuff I got on my plate. I want to be at the place where I am still joyful because I'm looking for Tuesday night, and then after Tuesday, I'm looking for Thursday, and for Thursday, I'm looking for Sunday, and I know that I'm going to hear something, amen, that is going to bless my soul in a song, in a testimony, in a victory report, amen. God is so good. Were you going to say something, Sister Maggie? All right, you just bought it. If you do this, you know you buy it here. Sold. Amen. Again, Jesus repeats what he says in Matthew 7:19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Amen. You know what? The reason why I never ate from those trees, I always thought that they were full of worms or something. But I found out they bring forth good fruit. Amen. They brought forth good fruit. But to bring forth good fruit, first, not only do you need the seed, but the ground has got to be prepared. So it doesn't matter if you have a good seed, you also need good ground. And I've said so many times when we come to church and we're going to hear a word, you know, the devil is so clever. He'll make your morning start out so that you leave the house, come into church in a bad mood. Something happened. The kids got on your nerves. Somebody called, dropped the wrong word. And so already your spirit is all with the wrong attitude. Messed up. That's a good way of putting it. Messed up. You see, you come, and the devil does not want your ground to be good. So he's already got some rocks and some weeds planted in there. Someone will say something. The car won't start. You'll be late. Someone will call and delay you. It, without fail, for me on Sunday mornings, something will happen. I'll say to my wife, okay, we got to drive the van this morning. So we're going to leave at 8:45. We got to pick up 3 or 4 people. We're going to leave at 8:45. And today we did it. We left at 8:45 and everything was just going great. Amen. Until. See, the devil has a way of wanting to take away your joy, to throw some salt in your ground. See, when the Romans conquered a city, when they destroyed Jerusalem, what they would do to make sure that the ground was corrupted and nothing could grow there, they would strew it with rocks and then they would salt it, because plants cannot grow in salt. They would come and they salted all of Jerusalem so that it couldn't be good ground for hundreds of years. The devil wants to take and corrupt your ground. He'll do it on Sunday morning. He'll make the kids want to go to the bathroom at the last minute. He'll make them mess up their clothes just when you're going out the door, you know. And so we left at 8:45. I said, okay, great. We're going to be able to get here early, get everything set up. But do you know, there was someone on the route who didn't get the message. Didn't get the message. So when we came, they were not ready. Can you give us 5, 6, 7 minutes? And so my flesh wanted to go. And so I'm so glad for the praise and worship this morning. Because you need to clear the ground. You need to clear the ground. It's so important. Doesn't matter how good the word is. You can come into church, fold your arms, cross your legs, and stare at the preacher like he's a rock. And you can determine, okay, you move me because I'm not moving. Some people do that. They come to church to, as they say, sit on the preacher. But really, you're not sitting on the preacher. You're sitting on the word. Amen. As I've told people many times, I'm not here to hype you up. If the word don't move you, then it's your problem, because all I can do is give you the seed. Your responsibility is to clear the ground. Yeah. Amen. So we have to make sure we're good ground. Matthew 13:3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them. That's what I said. If you're not planted, if you're not stable, stuff will come and blow you away. You have to be stable. You have to make a commitment. You have to make a commitment. When you find a good church, you need to make a commitment. First, find a good church where you feel that you're being fed, that where the seed is good. The responsibility for the ground is you. The seed is coming from whoever is speaking. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. See, Satan wants to just come, and as soon as you get a good word, you leave here today, something will come up to want to just snatch that out of your life. Some fell upon stony places. These were people who never cleared the ground in the first place. They were just hoping that it would somehow grow no matter where it fell. Well, seed needs earth. It won't grow on a rock. Forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, when some trials and tribulation comes, you have no faith. Wasn't everything supposed to change for me as soon as I became a Christian? Wasn't everything supposed to be a bed of roses? No. No, you have to have some grounded roots, because it's when you have roots that you can survive those periods of drought, because your roots grow deep. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell amongst thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But verse 8, but other fell on good ground, good ground. So we see throughout the whole Bible, there's this constant thing about seed and fruit and ground. And he's coming to look for fruit. Matthew 21:18, Jesus said, now in the morning as he returned into the city, he was hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves. You know, some of us have probably been coming to church 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 years. Have we produced fruit? And when he saw the fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves, and said, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. It's a sad thing when God can't find any fruit in our lives. The way God works is really strange, because it says, to him that hath shall be given, and him that hath not, even what he hath shall be what? This is what's happening here. Because the tree only brought forth leaves, God says, well, you're a waste of space. I'm not going to suffer you to just bring forth leaves when there could be someone in your spot who would be bringing forth fruit. Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. It wasn't instantaneous. Bible said it started from the root on up. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? I want God to be able to find fruit in my life. I want him to be able to find fruit. I want him to be able to come and see a person who's been transformed. The Holy Spirit should transform you. It should be doing something. You should not be the same if you've got the Holy Spirit. The Bible says there should be a voice telling you, this is the way. Walk in it. Now, if you've not been changed by the Holy Spirit, two things. Either you never had it or you're not listening. Because the gardener is going to come and he's going to look at you and he's going to say, no fruit this year. I'm going to dig around a little bit. I'm going to fertilize it some more. I'm going to pour some more water. And he is expecting something different. He's expecting something different. But you know, a lot of us, we won't abide. John 15:4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. There's a whole bunch of people who, they get saved, as I said yesterday, and immediately they think they can go out there and preach. They won't abide in any teaching. They won't abide to get some growth. They think, okay, I've got the Holy Ghost now. I'm ready to launch out on my own. And they have nothing, that no teaching. The Bible says that's why you should not, the Bible says, appoint a novice. What a rookie. Because they may get puffed up in pride. We have to do some learning. To bear fruit, you plant the seed today and you come back and you find the tree. Is that how it works? No, it takes some time for the thing to grow. That's why the Bible says we have to grow in grace. Grow. Even Jesus, it said that the child grew in wisdom and knowledge. We can't come into church today and then, you know, Pastor, I need to preach tomorrow. I got a message. The message may be, go sit down. I'm not boasting, but you all know I didn't begin a pastorship anyway till I was 53. And it's not that I couldn't have if I had wanted to. Down at my other church, the pastor, when he was getting together a succession plan of, you know, he was wanting to retire, and he came to me and I said, no, I don't want that. Let's look outside. Let's canvas outside. And really, if I look back on how I'm here today, it was really God making me, because it wasn't something I really ever intended to do. Amen. But listen, as I said yesterday, when God has a calling, you have to be a servant. Amen. You have to be a servant. But God doesn't want us to just think that we can come in today and then raise the dead tomorrow. Because faith is a growth. As I've said so many times, the reason why David could face Goliath is because he'd had some experiences. He had said he could tell King Saul, hey, I've killed the lion and I've killed the bear. So Goliath isn't going to be much of a problem. But if he'd had no experiences, then he looked at Goliath and then he looked at himself, he may have had second thoughts. But once you've been through some things, once you've been through the valley of the shadow of death, once you've been through some crisis, when God has done miracles in your life, then you're ready to fight because you have proven him. The Bible says, prove me this day. Hallelujah. And so God wants us to abide because that's the only way we will truly grow and be able to bring forth fruit. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, that's right. That's right. I mean, yeah, it's the roots. That's where all the substance comes from. Jesus in verse 6 says, if a man abide not in me. What does it mean to abide in Jesus? What is he talking about? Okay. He says, abide in me and I in you. What does that mean? How do we abide? I think that's pretty good. The devil can quote it. He knows scripture better than us. But it's one thing to quote it and another thing to live it. Right? Oh, I'm going to show love. But to who? It's easy to show love to people who are being good to you. Can you show that love to someone who's just lied on you? Can you still truly love them? What do you think about the people who got killed in that church? I heard that one of the relatives went into the court and he said, I forgive you. What do you think about that? No wrong answer. What's your opinion? All right, since no one's going to say, are you going to say something? Okay, well, here's my opinion. This is just my opinion, not scripture. I wouldn't do that. I'll tell you why. Forgiveness, in my view, can only be given if it's asked. Now, if he asked for forgiveness, then I feel as a Christian, we can give it. Does God forgive us before we ask? There's things we have to do to obtain his forgiveness. The forgiveness is there. The Bible says he would that none should perish. But yet we know people are going to perish. Why? Because they haven't asked. They haven't made themselves available to his sacrifice. Well, here's the thing. There's two points to this. I'm glad you brought that up. That doesn't mean that you should keep that weight on you, because it will kill you. But truly, they haven't had forgiveness unless they have asked for it. But that doesn't mean you dwell on that, because that will kill you, Brother Anthony. Right. Right. I think there's two parts to it. As I said, I wouldn't feel that they are forgiven without them. The forgiveness is a two-way street as far as resolving that problem. Sure, I want the burden lifted, so I'm gonna let it go. Right? Right? Right. So I think that, yes, forgiveness can be given, but again, it's like love. I've said so many times, love is like a chain. Unless someone's holding on, you're pulling nothing. You can love that person all you want, but unless they're holding on the other end, it's going to be a one-sided thing, right? Well, here's what I'm saying. I don't want to get off too much off the track. What I'm saying is that we need to forgive if we want that burden lifted. But I'm saying that person who hasn't asked for forgiveness, they're not receiving it. We can clear the burden by saying in our heart that we are releasing that burden. But what I'm saying truly for the person who hasn't asked for it, I don't believe they have received it. Because we cannot get saved unless we confess. I'm sorry, I didn't see you two over there. Absolutely. And I believe that is true. But there are two parts to that. One is the hurt that you have. You have to let that go. But it's also true that we have to confess. The Bible says we confess our faults, and then he is what? To forgive. So when you take all of the scriptures together, there's two parts to that. One is the release of your burden by being willing and saying, you know what? Even if that person doesn't ask, I'm going to let it go. But that person, I believe before God, will be guilty as long as they never ask for it. They never ask for it. Now, you're not to keep that burden and let it eat at you. You've got to release it. Truly, you have got to forgive them in the sense of not letting it eat at you. But I don't believe that that person is guiltless or has a chance of forgiveness unless they ask for it. And it's the same with us. If we commit a sin and we know it. We're not, you know, it's not a presumption. It's not an unknown sin. What are we supposed to do about that? Just go on like nothing happened? Shall we assume that God accepts us anyway? No. We have to confess our fault. And then the he that is faithful will forgive us. So I think there are two parts to forgiveness. One is we have to let it go ourselves. And the second is that if we want to be forgiven, then we also have to confess. Anyone else before we move on? Well, you know, I think if you want to talk about that particular case, it'll take many years, but I suspect that, you know, he will get the death penalty. So, huh? Well, here's the ultimate thing. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, there'll be lots of people who get away with stuff down here. A lot of people is going to get away with stuff down here that will never come to justice. But one day, the Bible says the books were open. The books are going to be opened. And we are going to receive those things done in this flesh. So nobody truly gets away with it. And the judge that time, it's going to be an eternal judgment. It's going to be an eternal judgment. It's not like, you know, I go up to the prison. And a lot of times I get to talk with some of the prisoners, and it's very sad. You know, it's very sad. You see someone 17, 18, who, you know, stupidly was with a group of some other people. That other person killed someone. They didn't pull the trigger. They didn't shoot someone. But now their life is finished. They've got from 17 or 18... natural life for the rest of, you know, and it's not a nice place. It's not a nice place, that place, at all. So, yes, there is going to be a judgment, even those who think that they get away with it. Amen. We're going to have to move on, but it's good. I wanted participation. Amen. Herein is my Father glorified, that he bear much fruit. Let's get back to bearing fruit. So shall he be my disciples. Now, one last thing, we're going to have to end this a little bit soon. It's sacrifice that brings fruit. Now, I used to have some roses, a rose bush. And the way you get more roses, guess how you do it to get more roses? You have to prune it. Ooh, Jesus, please. Oh, I don't want that. But that's what's going to happen. When you bear fruit, you're going to get some more pruning. Because he wants you to bear more fruit. More fruit. You know, and so the pruning is the sacrifice. The testing is what makes things bear fruit. So you look at a stem, and it's got no roses on it. So you cut it off. So you know what that does? That makes the sap that's available go into the branches that are bearing fruit, that are bearing buds. And you trim it back. And then the next year, you find that bush has grown so much. So God is going to ask us to do some sacrifice. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. This self has got to die. There's things in us that God does not like. There's things in me I hate. And I struggle with that. I ask God, please help me overcome this. Help me overcome this. I don't think I would like me. I don't. If I met me, I probably wouldn't like me because I know me. See, you don't know me. There's things about me I hate. And it's a good thing I hate them because if I love them, it would be terrible. You know, but we've got to make those things die to bring forth fruit. Those parts of us that are not pleasing to God have got to die. How do you kill them? Let's just throw out one. Suppose you got a bad temper. Suppose you just fly off at the handle. Okay. Practically, say I had a bad temper. What would anyone, Sister Cindy? Okay, you say fast. Walk away and pray. Count. Sister Tamika? Yeah. But that means I did something I need repenting of. I really don't want to have a bad time. I don't want to fly off at people and then have to come back and say sorry. Anger management. Okay, you read about yourself. You find a scripture that has to do with that. Okay, be angry and sin not. Did you have something? That was the scripture you're about to say? Amen. That's a good answer. That's a good put the word on it. Put the word on it. Be angry, but don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Amen, sister, brother Tony. Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 We all have things that need to die. We all have things, characteristics that need to die. That's what they say. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Audrey. Amen. Sunita. You put on gospel music. Well, that's a good one because that's what I used to do. It's what I used to do. Not gospel music, but when I used to come home and I was upset, I would just get on the piano and I would be playing. And you could tell as it was clearing out of my system because the music would change. And I would sit there for an hour. That was about it. That was about it. Sister Cindy. Amen. Okay. All right. Let me throw another one out. Pride. Pride. How would you know if you've got that as an issue? Sunita? Okay. But how do you recognize that in yourself? Boasting? Me, I, and myself? Done? Okay. That's a good one. When you're always pointing out what's wrong with other people. Uh, All right, I said all of this to show you there's some other kind of fruit, the bad fruit. There's bad fruit. Drunkenness, envy, dissensions, outbursts of wrath, contention. You know, some people, you can always, if there's a fuss, they're somewhere in the vicinity. They're somewhere in this vicinity. Sorcery. You mean there's people that actually do sorcery today? Yeah. They go and look up their horoscope. What business is a Christian looking up your horoscope? Is your life guided by what's in the paper today? Or by the Spirit? Licentiousness. What does that mean? Lust, it means giving into everything. You don't have no boundaries. You don't have no demark. There's nothing that you won't do. You haven't said, no, I'm not going to do that. You have no boundaries. You're just like everything. You've given yourself license by the grace of God to do anything. And you think it's okay because God's grace is so big. Well, that's a fruit of the flesh. That's taking advantage of God's goodness. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. What does uncleanness mean? We know the others, adultery, fornication. What is uncleanness? How is a Christian unclean? No, I'll tell you. It's what you say. Jesus said it's what comes out of a man that defiles it. Our words should be gracious. We shouldn't be cursing out anybody. We shouldn't be saying hateful things about anybody. We shouldn't be gossiping. We shouldn't be saying things we don't really know. And even if it is the truth, what business it is of yours? You got to work out your own salvation. Your own salvation. That's uncleanness. You're defiling yourself by what you say. If you could say nothing but good things. See, that's the opposite of being defiled. Idolatry. Well, I don't have any idols. How many hours is your TV on? Do you worship that box? Do you sit in front of it all afternoon? Hatred. You were going to say something? Yes, but we have to be careful that it doesn't consume all our time. Jealousies, selfish ambition. What's a selfish ambition? I'm going to stop on this slide. Well, you know, we may want something and it may be a good thing, but the Bible says selfish ambition. Okay, when it's, again, me, I, and myself. You know, when my Passat will do well enough, but I want a, let me think of a really fancy car now. Not even a Lamborghini. One of these ones that costs like about $300,000. See, my car works fine enough. Okay, now the works of the flesh are manifest. That means other people can see it. Maybe you can't see yourself, but it's manifest to others when we're being stuck up, when we're being unkind, when we're gossiping. You know, it's manifest. Some things are very plain. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. See how much bad fruit there is compared to good fruit? Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, they that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's stand today. We'll end with the verse we started with. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Let's say that one again. Long-suffering. That means you can put up with stuff. You don't get, so twisted, so upset because you're able to suffer long. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Saints, we have a long way to go. But here's the thing. If you will fight, if you will strive, God will help. Amen. We can't give up and say, well, I can't do it. As someone said, you have to repent every day. But we hope that we're growing, that I'm not repenting of exactly the same things I was repenting of 2 years ago. I don't want to be still in diapers 5 years from now. You know, when a baby is growing, eventually they go to toddler's pants, right? They start to be able to use the commode by themselves. If you've been a Christian more than a little bit, it's time that you start to grow. It's time that God's grace starts to manifest in your life. Amen. And we need to get to the place where we are ready and able to bear fruit. Amen. Let's bow our heads and our hearts at this time. Lord, we just thank you.